Welcome to the Healing the City podcast. The following podcast is a ministry of the Village Church in Tucson, Arizona. If you wish to support the Healing the City podcast, you can go to the show notes, click support the show, and you can become a subscriber for $3, $5, or $10 a month. This will help offset the hosting costs and continue the ministry of Healing the City podcast. Also, if you wish to support the show, we really encourage you to rate us on Apple and Spotify and other places that podcasts are listened to, and give us a good review. Thanks. Welcome to Healing the City podcast. My name is Eric. I'm one of the pastors at the Village Church in Tucson, Arizona. And I just have a little meditation thought on Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33 on marriage. And I want to maybe throw you a little curveball when thinking about what it means to be married, how you relate to one another. I want to offer a little countercultural thought, both to people who don't follow Jesus and those who do. So let me read the text to you first, and then we'll have a chat about it. Starting in verse 21 in the NIV. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. All right, so let's just take a look at a couple things that I think are important, and I think they're things that people don't necessarily always think about when they're talking about the roles of men and women in the context of marriage. What does a husband do? What kind of authority does he have? How does a woman submit to, or wife submit to her husband? All that kind of stuff. So verse 21 is key. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is, in the context of chapter 5, talking about the body of Christ. But this very simple line, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, is to say that when you enter into marriage, because we know this submit word in the Greek drops down into verse 22, it's not there. So they're using that Greek word submit to bring it down to wives, submit yourselves. And what we've got here is that when you get married, and I think people, you got to start here. This is so important. When you get married, you're marrying each other, you're brothers and sisters in Christ if you're followers of Jesus. And you are called to submit to your sister, and you are called to submit to your brother. And that the first lens, I would argue, that we look at each other through as brother and sister. And in the context of Christ and the church, we are called to submit, which is to come alongside to aid the mission of the person, to aid them, to organize yourself under in order to aid them in what they are doing. As a brother in Christ, you are called to come alongside your sister in Christ and aid her in her mission, and vice versa. But Paul then begins to lay this out, and he is addressing the household codes of the first century. And these codes are things that were talked about by rulers and philosophers to help organize the family. Now, we're going to only look at the first part of that code because children and slaves are dealt with in the next chapter. But I want you to hear something here. So this next line is actually revolutionary in the first century. Doesn't feel revolutionary to us, but I'll show you how it is. wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as to you do to the Lord. A couple key things here first before we talk about the submission thing. That word, own husband. Meaning, you are not, as a wife, called to submit yourself to other husbands. This is key in the first century. Second, what is clear here is it is volitional. She chooses. Husband doesn't force. First century, husband forces submission. Submission is expected. Third thing that most people don't talk about, is that it is as you do to the Lord. Paul removes the Lord title from the husband and puts it in its appropriate place in the Christian family, and that is at the head. Jesus is over the family, and you only submit to your husband as you do to your Lord, because your husband is no longer your Lord. Key. Now, the invitation is to come alongside volitionally your husband to aid and equip him on his mission. That's what submission for a wife looks like, according to Paul. And you do it in the way that you do it to the Lord, in the sense that with the same humility, with the same forethought, like, in fact, your relationship with Jesus is what is going to deeply influence the way that you love and care for and come alongside your husband. Now, verse 23 says, for the husband, and here's the reasons, for the husband is the head of the wife. And there's all this controversy because it's like, okay, what does head mean? Now, head can mean source and head can mean authority. I would argue, and from the context of Ephesians, we know that there is, head does mean source into a spot, means authority. But the reality is, for the most part, head means authority, okay? And that's okay. Now, so he says, what's the reason? Well, one of the reasons is that the husband is your head. He is your authority, okay? And I would argue that source can be included. He is your source. As Christ is the head of the church, right? His body, key, of which he is the Savior. Now, I want you to note something here. If Jesus is Lord, husband isn't Lord. So the reason you are submitting and where the authority rests with the husband is in his Savior role in your life. Well, what did Jesus do for the church? He laid his life down for us so we could be the church. So the way that the husband comes alongside his sister slash wife to aid and submit to her is to lay his life down for her in order that she might succeed. Then he reemphasizes the church Christ submission with wives. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now here's what this picture here is absolutely mind-blowing and counterculture in the first century. And I actually think it is mind-blowing and counterculture now. Because my experience in the world and in the church is that we have this struggle with this idea of, oh my gosh, I have to submit and be ruled by my husband. Right? I can't do that. Like, I have to have freedom. And there's just, it's so constricting of me as a woman. And then vice versa, you have men being like, no, I have to be the head of the house, and I need to be the one in charge, and I need to be the one bringing the spiritual kind of direction and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really think that that's what's going on here. Yeah, there's conversation about submission and authority. But you know what's powerful here, and we'll kind of play it out a little bit, is that it is a gospel presentation. When people look at a wife who chooses to submit to her husband, to come alongside to aid him, not to be in a spot where she's subserviently obeying him, and he's just ordering her around. No, when she comes along, she chooses to come alongside him and model for us what it looks like to be the church. We are told, when we watch wives who submit well to their husbands, we're like, oh, that's how we're, as a church, collectively supposed to interact with Jesus. And by the way, it's also how we are supposed to interact with one another as brothers and sisters, right? And so it's this proclamation of the gospel in such a profound way. On the other hand, in a world where you can't get around this, if you deny this, then you're just not telling the truth. In a world where men have ruled and ruled for a very long time, and men have power, both physically, economically, they are in the power position. When you see that they are willing to give up the lordship position because they no longer have the lordship, right? That's a rule position. You know who rules? Jesus. Do you know what husbands are called to do? They're called to be saviors. They're called to lay down their life. And when we look at husbands who lay their life down for their wives, in a way that lifts their wives up, gives their wives freedom to be the people that they're called to be, to flourish, what we end up seeing is how Jesus loves us. We get a better understanding. And I would argue that every marriage that operates this way under the lordship of Christ, in this model of submission, ends up proclaiming this beautiful, unique sliver of Jesus, a sliver of the gospel, and a sliver of the church combined. Like, it's a proclamation of the kingdom, and it's powerful, right? And it gives us a place to praise God. Now, we'll kind of play this out a little bit more. In verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." So here we go. Submission for a husband is the self-sacrifice to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word and presenting her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So what's interesting about this language, and many theologians have pointed this out, is that men don't do laundry. And yet, Paul's like, yeah, but you do spiritual laundry because that's what Jesus did. Right? There's this tenderness and this care that you are called as a man, right, to step into your wife's life, to honor her weakness, to care for her, to wash her, to lay your life down for her, to serve her as Christ served the church, right? And I love this. In verse 28, he connects, like, the way that you care for your body, right? It's the way you care for your wife. He says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies, right? Jesus sees the church as his body, and he cares for it, and he acts tenderly with it, and he lays his life down for it, and he provides for it, and he points it in direction, right? In this same way, right? That's what the husband is supposed to do. He's supposed to love his wife tenderly like he loves his own body. And Paul's argument is simple. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are all members of his body. For this reason, and here's what's kind of, so verse, let's just jump to verse 31, because you're like, oh, okay, Paul's just constantly turning the first century concept of what it means to be a man and a woman in marriage on its head. And he goes and he quotes what Jesus has quoted, and in Genesis, makes very clear that the intent before the fall is for the man to leave his family, not for the woman to leave her family. That's really powerful, because as soon as the fall, guess who leaves their family? Most of the time, it's the woman who leaves her family, certainly in ancient society. So the man leaves his family. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. We have become one with Christ. However, Each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So, where am I going with all of this? I would argue to you that when you sit down and you're struggling in your marriage, or there's hard things, or you're getting in arguments, I would argue that if you begin to process this text and not process first, well, I'm just being stubborn and not willing to submit to my husband, or my husband is just being angry and he's not being the savior or laying his life down, or any of the different principles that you can extract from this. I think verse 21 is really key. And when I do marriage counseling, when I think about my own marriage, when I'm, one of the things that you have to ask and you have to think about is, do I view my wife, do I view my husband as a brother, or my wife as a sister in Christ first? Because when I begin to view her as a sister in the kingdom of God, then she has some pretty strong identities that she brings to the household. When I view my husband as a brother, he has some pretty strong identities that he brings to the household. Number one, they bring child. They're children. Your wife is a child of God. Your husband is a child of God. Your husband and or your wife is a priest. And this I think is not something we think about, and it's dramatic. In the Old Testament, women could not be priests, and all of a sudden your sister is a priest. She comes into marriage loving you in an identity of child and priest. Your husband comes into marriage in an identity of child and priest. But there's another one. And it's the invitation to the husband to model, but we both come with this identity, and that is of servant, right? Because the kingdom of God is upside down. Authority turned upside down into service and servanthood, right? Love turned into this big friendship-oriented principle. There's all these things that just get turned upside down. Submission becomes a choice. Husbands become people who lay their lives down and don't rule over. We read it and either it feels archaic or we just let it go. But man, if you begin to process this and realize that the actual mission of your wife and the actual mission of your husband is to proclaim the gospel through the way that the two of you love each other to the world, to your children, and to your church. And that your marriage is actually a discipleship of the church itself and a proclamation of the gospel to the church and the watching world. All of a sudden, I would argue you have this opportunity to get excited, or this challenge, or this invitation to get excited about your marriage, to get excited about the way you interact, to get excited about how you serve and care for and submit and lay your life down for your wife, for your husband. To begin to like see that there's this call to have Jesus as the Lord of your marriage. Powerful, mind-blowing. Something that you could spend a lot of time on. So with that thought, I'm going to let you kind of interact with that. And you can ask me questions. You can send me an email at healingthecity@gmail.com or at villagersonline@gmail.com. Or you can grab me if you go to the village and ask me questions about it. Let me just pause here, though. I don't really actually know how many people listen to Healing the City. And so if you listen to Healing the City, it only takes a few, there's a couple things that just would be helpful, and it only takes a few seconds. One, write a review on Apple for us or Spotify. Two, you know what? Jump on healingthecity@gmail.com and on your email and just email us and say, hey, I listen, and this has been great. That would mean a lot to us. Or if you've got some questions about things that you'd like me or other people to address at the Village, that would be awesome. So thank you for listening to Healing City Podcast.